I felt like the word for today, and I've already sort of stepped into that, I suppose, is restoring the connection. It was the word that God placed on my heart, that he is restoring the connection. Then get up this morning, and a guy called Nate Johnston, who is a prophetic voice, and I just follow what he says. I don't take it all as being 100% gospel or any of that sort of stuff, but quite often the words that he shares, I go, wow, that's just a word in season. And this is what he was saying this morning. He said, watch out for miracles in the restoring of connection, the restoring of relationships, of children being restored to parents and parents being restored to children, and all these things were in this thing. And I'm going, wow, because this was put together on Wednesday, and there's the scripture that God placed on my heart. Malachi 4:6. I've got to save my slides in a different format for the new system. So just bear with us as we get used to the new thing. I'm just going to bring it up on my phone so I can read it properly. Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total devastation. I think if you're actually got your eyes open at the moment, we've got a lot of devastation around our world. And what's the number one thing being attacked? Yeah. There's not a family that's not touched by it in some way. So this thing, the Bible that we read, has got some truth in there that makes sense, doesn't it? We know that. But it takes us being really intentional about the restoration of those things. We have to be intentional in that. We have to be willing to face stuff. We have to be willing to do that journey. And tell you what, sometimes that's really, really hard. Because we get hurt in relationship. And hurt people hurt people. But God's thing is actually, I want the relationship to be a place of healing in your life and in my life. And I believe he's on the move. A really good friend of mine was having some marital issues just recently, and we were chatting through some stuff. And I won't give away his name. He doesn't go to this church, so I'm not talking about someone here. But he's a good friend of mine. And I said to him, out of my own life experience, go and sort your own stuff out, and you might just find that your wife comes on a journey with you. And to his credit, he has. And miraculously, the marriage is being restored quite powerfully. And it was another reminder that if we're going to see relationships restored, I'm not responsible for Michelle, but I am responsible for me. And if I deal with my stuff, I remove the plank out of my own eye. Hopefully I become a better husband, a better father, a better leader, because I'm actually dealing with my own heart stuff. One of the most destructive things that happens in relationship is when it's all there, your fault. And there might be some stuff that has been done that has been painful. But I'm not responsible for how another person acts. But I am responsible for this. And if all I'm doing is actually looking for someone else to blame for what's going on, it's not ever going to actually be healed, because I'm actually never going to be dealing with this. Because as God deals my heart, you know, as Michelle and I have gone on a journey in marriage, as I've dealt with my stuff and Michelle's dealt with her stuff, I like to think our marriage has got better. Doesn't mean it's perfect. She deserves a medal putting up with me for 20-something years. There's a lot of stuff. But the joy that actually happens when we actually do it, because we get to love without those lenses on. It's pretty amazing. And I believe that God is wanting to do that in the life of this community. So God is restoring the heart connection. The question before we go into the story of the prodigal son, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through the whole story because I know that you know it. But before we get into this, what is your goal? What is the goal of your relationship? Whether it be with your husband or wife, your child, family members, people here in this community, people out there. Lots of different relationships, different levels of intimacy, different levels of interrelating. But what's your goal? Is it connection? Or are you managing the disconnection? Because I actually believe that these two things are one of the primary things that happen within relationships. If I am managing a I'm in relationship and, I don't know, I always pick on Pam or Karen or Sondi or whatever. Okay, Jill, you can be the guinea pig this time. But I'm in a relationship with Jill where we're becoming better friends, we're getting to understand each other, but she's done a few things that have really bugged me. And I've done a few things that have bugged her. If my goal is connection, I personally will want those things that have actually caused some relational breakdown to be brought to my attention. Because I actually don't want anything in my life that will stop me having a connection with Jill. Now, our marriages can be a really big one. If Michelle and I are having conflicts, is the conflict sort of out here and we're dealing with it together to try and come up with it? Or is it between us and it's becoming a barrier? As soon as it becomes a barrier, I'm managing the disconnection. I know that I can step to here, but if I step here, I'm in big trouble. Got any relationships like that? Did you go, oh, if I step over that line, if I touch that topic? We've all got things like that. But if they become the thing that define the relationship, I'm managing a disconnection, not managing the connection. I'm not actually coming to restore the connection, because sometimes to restore the connection means that we may not actually come to agreement. Agreement and heart connection are very different. Shell and I see the world very differently. We're very different people. It's a gift. I don't always recognize the gift because her perspective is so different to mine that I go, what? And she probably thinks the same about me. But if my heart is to be connected, I want to come with a heart to understand, a heart to make sure that I'm connected to her heart. Imagine if we as a church operated like that. Going to talk to the elephant in the room sometimes. Sometimes our connection with God can be like that. God hasn't come through, hasn't answered a prayer the way we did. Things didn't turn out the way we thought it would. We've all got stories. And we actually then go interact with Him like that. And it's one of the reasons why I felt that God said, go to the prodigal son story. Luke chapter 15, I encourage you to go and read it and sit in it and actually really absorb what's going on in this passage of scripture. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So Jesus tells the story. Most of you know it. The general story is younger son, older son, father. Three characters in the story. Younger son, not having a bad day, throws a temper tantrum, tells dad, I want your money and I'm out of here. Dad gives it to him. I'll unpack that a little bit more in a minute of what it actually meant. Older son, the rule keeper, went out to work, worked hard every day, did everything. But there's a great example of managing the disconnection. Tried to earn dad's love by working in the fields. Young son comes home, a party's thrown, and all of a sudden, older brother's really upset. Two sons. I can identify with both of them. I'm a recovering Pharisee and still on the journey. The context, though, when you actually understand it, young son basically, when he turns to dad and goes, Dad, I want my fair of the share of the inheritance. Back then, it would have been a third of what actually was owned. Their property wouldn't have been that he had liquid cash. He probably had to sell the property to be able to give him the resources. It's not a quick process. We read these stories sometimes and think, oh yeah, dad just reached to his wallet, gave him the money, and off he went. It would have been over a period of time. They had to sell, they had to find the buyer, they had to do the transactions, they had to work out how to actually transfer it. And it would have been a third of what the father had. In the middle of that, the father's doing these things while his youngest son is basically saying, I wish you were dead. Because that's ultimately what was actually being said in that moment. Not a good situation. Pretty messy family. But dad did it. There's nothing in the scripture that says that he had an argument or a discussion or any of those things with his son. Meanwhile, as we said, older son out there working the fields, sorting things out, serving, being the good little boy at home. Young bloke goes off, parties, blows his money, ends up for a Jewish guy to be working in a pig farm. Can't get much lower than that. Hungry, tired. He goes, I'm better off being at home, just be a servant. I'm better off going home and just working on the farm, working for dad, but I don't expect him to call me dad, that son anymore. I'll just be a servant. Because he'd blown it. He'd basically said, I don't want to be part of the family anymore. Of course, we know the story is as soon as he got within distance, the father grabbed his whatever he would have been wearing, wouldn't have been jeans like I am, would have picked up his, what was it called? Robe, there we go, we'll use the robe, that'll do. My words are good today. And he picked it up and he ran. This son that was lost, that had actually blown it, that had done everything to destroy the relationship, the father went, man, you're back. Been waiting for you. Been longing for the day. One of our biggest things as dads is actually to release our children into the world and hope that they come back for advice sometimes. But we've got to let them go, because otherwise they never become the men that they're meant to be. But I can guarantee if my boys come knocking on my door and say, Dad, I need some advice, I'm going to give them a big hug and say, come on, let's go. Let's sit down and have a chat. But the father's love for the younger son didn't change, despite the fact the son had rejected the father. The party included the royal robe, or the family robe, and it included the signet ring that had the seal, the family seal, that allowed him to transact on behalf of the family again. That's what the ring on the finger meant. It wasn't just a nice piece of jewelry. It had meaning and significance. Sounds like us at salvation, doesn't it? We don't deserve it. The father looks at us and goes, "You're back, son. You're back, daughter. Let me clothe you in my righteousness. You're now not a part of this world. You're a part of the kingdom, and you can transact on behalf of it. I'm looking forward to working through you and seeing what you're going to do in this partnership together." Pretty cool, hey? The trust that the father gives us, and he gave to the son. Wow. The older brother, he's out in the field having a hissy fit. "I did all this work. Father never did anything for me. Why don't I get recognized? Why didn't he kill a fatted calf for me? I've been to church every single week for the last 39 years. I've given faithfully in the tithe. I've read my Bible every morning. Father said, "But all I want is relationship. You don't need to perform to earn my love. You could quote the Torah, all the prophetic literature. You could quote the every gospel and every letter from Paul and everything in word for word. You could even do it from the King Jimmy for extra points. But if you're not in a relationship with the Father, it means nothing." That's why religious behavior sucks the life out of us. It sucks it out of you and it sucks it out of me. Why do people get hurt in churches all around the place? It's because we get religious. It's more about what we look like on the outside than what our heart relationship is before the Father and with each other. And I don't stand up here thinking I've got it all worked out and I've got it all a clean sheet either, by the way. I'm well and truly on this journey of recovering. But it's one of the reasons why the gospel is being rejected time and time again, is because as people we've turned it into a religious performance and not an intimate relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who looks at you and says, "You're clothed in my righteousness, you've got the ring on your finger to transact on my behalf. Hang out with me." Restore your connection with me. I think I've shared it before, but there's been times where I've been really angry at God and I've told him so. Only to realize he's got big shoulders to take it, and he actually takes it and then goes, "You're going to let me love you? Or are you going to hold on to that thing?" And as we let it go, God restores. I realise our time is at 11:30. Sorry, Andre, I did try to say I'd try and be finished by now. I'm going to have to get a few guys just to, when we sing our last song, if I could have, before I finish my last points, don't leave just yet. Just leave when we, can I have 3 volunteers or 4 volunteers just to go out and start cutting some scones, putting some jam and some cream on there? I'm going to dob my boys in to actually help with that. But a couple of other guys that could help with that, can I just have a couple of volunteers? Andre and, awesome. We've got 3 guys that can do that. Not right now. Let me finish what I've got to say when we get up and finish our song, when we finish with Waymaker and those things, then please, if you could go and do that so our ladies can get served morning tea, that would be awesome. I believe that God, I don't know how well you're going to be able to read this because of the way I've done the slide, so I really will work on it during the week. Alrighty. I believe that God is saying to us as a church that He is restoring the heart connection. I think the PowerPoint picture was what I felt like. He's restoring the connection. Without the connection in power, you'll never run the vacuum cleaner or anything else. But when the connection is stored, we're going to have life, and it doesn't take any effort in that front. There's a commitment on our part. When we plug into the things of God and plug into the things of the Holy Spirit, and we allow Him to make sure that the connection is clean and fix up anything that is actually stopping the connection, things happen effortlessly. You ever had those moments where you just go, God, I've had enough, I give it over to You, and then miraculously something happens and you go, wow, I better get out of the way more often. And I believe that's what He's saying to us. Just come to the Father. Let Him clothe you in His righteousness. Let Him put the ring on your finger. Pursue Him. I've been changing my prayers. As many of you know, we're looking for a home up here in Mombol. Rather than me saying, God, please give me a home, please give me a home, please give me a home, I've changed my language recently to go, God, I just want Your best. Because if I try and make it happen Jason's way, it's actually interfered with the process before. And I believe we're living in the house we're in because I interfered in the process. God showed me that this week. He goes, that's okay. We learn from these things. But how about you just want my best? And God's best is restored families, healed connection. Now, I can't do that alone. Michelle and my marriage with Michelle would never work if it was only me wanting the marriage to work. It works because Michelle desires to have a relationship with me and I desire to have a relationship with her. But we've got to let God do the work on the other side of that. Does that make sense? So God, I believe this, and I'm saying this as a prophetic declaration over this house today, that God is saying to us, His church, that He is restoring the heart connection between children and parents. Maybe the other way around as well. I believe that there is people who have left this community that God is going to restore to this community. And I'm prophetically declaring it because if people have left and they've gone off to other communities, that's fine. We can bless them and that's where they're meant to be if that's where God's placed them. But if they've left and there's offense and there is hurt, it's going to affect both us as a community and also them. I can't make that happen, and I'm not going to try and force it to happen either. It's got to be done God's way. And there might be some things that we need to clean up on our end so that it can happen. I don't know. God will show us and our leadership as we pray and seek Him. But I believe there will be people restored to the family here. And I believe that this house, this community of faith, this family, is to step into what God has called us to be. What is it in Corinthians, he says, that we are meant to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven and ministers of reconciliation. But this will be a place where hearts will be reconciled. Both to Heavenly Father and to each other. Is it going to be easy? because we've got an enemy of our soul that wants to actually destroy it. Because if he can get us infighting in the church, in our families, guess who wins? He does. So when the enemy goes fishing to try and get a fence in here, and I'm going to do a message on a fence in a couple of weeks' time, or maybe next week, who knows? See what God says when I get into my office and quiet space this week. But if he can get that in here, he can break the relationship. And all of a sudden it is, oh, Dave, geez, why'd you bring him here, God? I don't feel that way at all about him. And I don't want to have that about any of you. I reckon if we can actually push into that as a community, commit to doing this with each other, for each other, for our families, support each other, pray for each other. Hey, I'm really finding it hard to love this person. I'm really finding it hard to do this. Can you pray with me? Can you help? Can we do this together? We're going to start seeing some traction. And my hope is at the end of it, we look like Jesus because we've hung out with him. Can we do it on our own? Nah. We need him and we need each other. And I think it's a celebration thing. We should be celebrating. I believe God wants each of us to have anticipation in our heart that the things that's been declared, that the prophetic word of the hearts being restored is going to happen. Not some little pipe dream. Let's start believing and celebrating and making sure we push into this for each other. Pray for families. Pray for each other. Have someone that you're praying with reaching out. Hey, I really want to see this person restored either to our community or to a faith community somewhere. Let's join in and pray together. And then let God do his best work. Let's be courageous enough to have real conversations with each other. Where our goal is not to bring offense and hurt, but it is to restore the connection. Because that is paramount. That's what the father in the prodigal son did. He just stood there and said, you can do what you want, you can choose to do what you want, but my love is always available. I'm here. You step towards me with your little toe, I'll run towards you a million miles an hour to embrace you and love you. And it's available for each of us. Can I have the worship team up, please? And we're going to sing Waymaker.